¡Viva el movimiento! ¡Gloria a Villanueva! ¡A Hernán Siles Suárez!
In today's interview, we will listen to Rafael Archondo, Bolivian journalist who lives in Mexico since 2015. He has written a biography of Hernán Siles Suazo, who was president of Bolivia between 1956 and 1960, and between 1982 and 1985, and he was also one of the most important leaders of the MNR. By looking at Siles' biography, the book looks at almost 80 years of Bolivia's political history. The book was co-written with Isabel Siles, the youngest daughter of President Hernán Siles Suazo. Critical of the historiography of the MNR, the goal of this book is to restore the centrality of the MNR in Bolivian politics since the 1940s. Archondo argues that there has been a tendency to examine MNR's ideology throughout the eyes of the Cold War, for example, by classifying the party as Nazi in the 1940s or as communist in the 1950s. There has been also a tendency, particularly from the left, he argues, to look the accomplishments of the Bolivian Revolution throughout the lenses of the Cuban Revolution that took place in 1959, of course, and characterize then the Bolivian Revolution as incomplete. Thus, Archondo reassesses the importance of understanding the MNR and the Bolivian Revolution in its own terms. Rafa, thank you so much for coming to the program. I wonder if you can talk about how did this project begin?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you for the interview. This was originally a family project, you know, the families gathering around the table and somebody suggesting, oh, why don't tell we about the story of our father or of our grandfather? It works at the beginning. The youngest daughter of Hernán Siles Suazo, Isabel Siles, came to the idea of writing a biography of her father. And in this process, he was reading a lot of articles of books about the National Revolution. And she read an article which I wrote about the last process of recovery of democracy in Bolivia. And I was, of course, writing about Siles Suazo also. And so she invited me to be part of this project. That was originally the starting point of the book. And as I said, it was a family project. And I tried to convert this family project in an academic work. So because I am part of the university, I am doing a lot, not only as a journalist, but also as a scholar. I thought it was a great opportunity to make this biography, to add to this biography another value. And I think the value could be a historical approach of Siles Suazo as a public person in Bolivia, and maybe the possibility to revisit some issues, some traditional and classical issues of the National Revolution. And I think I really made an effort to transform this family project in another and a different project. And I think with Isabel, we really had a lot of conversations, a lot of emails, a lot of common readings. And I think we really merged to a common perspective as a book. And I think this is a good mixture of family interest and family materials and old pictures of the family and the purpose of doing a different work, in this case, an academic and historical work.
This was such an interesting story about the origins of the book. And I wonder if we can talk now about the main contributions.
Okay, I think the main contribution of the books are seven. The first one is to say clearly that the Nationalist Party in Bolivia, the MNR, was not a fascist or a Nazi or a Marxist party. It was a creation by itself. I think the MNR was really an original creation of Bolivian politicians after the Chaco War. And I think there are no labels, no right labels to identify and define this party. I think the MNR is really a different trend in the Bolivian politics. And of course, MNR has a lot of linkages with APRA in Peru, with Peronism in Argentina, of course. But I think it was in some sense an original organization in its aims and its ideology. I think this is the first finding, and this is based on the reading of the whole Bases and Principios document of the MNR, which was drafted in 1942. This document is about 54 pages, but normally in Bolivia, this document was circulated only by a segment of the eight final pages. So my perspective is that if you read the whole document, you will have another idea of the party and of the ideas in the party. This is the first finding. The other one is that the MNR was really closely linked and a big ally of the armed forces in Bolivia, of the military. The alliance between the MNR and the many parts of the army in Bolivia was very consolidated in the whole time. This is the second. And additionally, there was also an alliance between MNR and the US government, the State Department. I think after 1943, by the Villarreal government, there was really a close relationship between MNR and the American governments in general, especially with Eisenhower, the government of Eisenhower, until the Kennedy administration, which was very close to Bases and Cenzura. The third finding, I think, is that the MNR was an electoral force, a very big and huge electoral force. This party was winning elections from 1943 to 1951, when, of course, we know MNR has this great victory, yeah, of 1951. After that came the revolution. And I think this is very important because no other party, no PIR, no POR, no Falange, has this huge electoral power, this capacity of winning election. I think this is very remarkable in this case. The fourth thing that I think the book contributes is that in the revolution, in the uprising of the 9th April 1952, there was no really difference between the party, the Nationalist Party, the MNR, and the groups of citizens, of miners, of workers, which were fighting in those 3 days. I think a tendency, a trend in Bolivian history was to split the party and the workers who were fighting at this day. And this is, I think, a wrong assertion. The fifth is that the army, the Bolivian army, was not annihilated, was not destroyed by the revolution at all. The army, the Bolivian army, has a continuity after the revolution and in the process of the National Revolution itself. This is my perception. Marxist historians are saying still now that the army was destroyed by the
Burst through,
revolution. Yes, I think this is a wrong assumption also. The other one is that the MNR, the party, the Nationalist Party, was united until 1971. This is the other surprise. That was a surprise for me as a journalist who was reading a lot about this story. We know now that Siles and Paz Estenssoro were united in Lima in the year 1970. And in 1971, it was re the first really division of the party. And the former ones, Lechín or Guevara, I think this were not divisions in strict terms. The real division of the party was 1971, when Silvio Suazo and Paz Estenssoro really has a difference, a huge difference regarding the Banzer coup and the process of the dictatorship of Banzer in 1971, when Paz Estenssoro signed an alliance with Banzer and Silvio Suazo went into exile, to Chile and Argentina, and after that to Venezuela. And I think this is very important because normally many historians are saying that, for example, the split was 1964 by Barrientos coup, and this is not real. So this was, of course, a distance between Siles and Paz Estenssoro at year 1964. But after that, it was a clear unification, a very soon unification of the party after the coup of November 1964. And the last one, I think, is that Siles Suazo is consistent force for democracy among the process of the social revolution and after that. He is really the leader of a trend within the party, which is pledging for democracy all the time. For example, Siles was not really was not agreeing about the coup at the year 1943 by Villarroel. He was against this coup. This is a key information, I think. And of course, he was participating in the process, but he was not part of the cabinet. And he was always criticizing the possibility or the idea of having his party, the MNR, related to some conspiracy activities and some alliance with military forces were against democracy. He was, for example, in some cases saying that he's going to resign to the party, he's going to quit the party if his party is really involved in those activities. Of course, after that, Siles was part of the conspiracy at the year 1952, of course, but it was because the MNR was the winning party in the former elections. So she was, in this case, conspiring, sorry, in order to put the party which has won the election a year before in power. So that was also a sequence, a clear sequence of fighting for democratic methods in the fight or in the struggle of the party. So I think those seven are the main findings of the book.
I guess the natural question is how those contributions are dialoguing with previous literature, how the as your book rethinking previous literature and previous assessments about the revolution.
Oh, yes, this is a very important question because normally we are repeating the famous sentence of Winston Churchill that the history is written by the victors. Normally we are saying that because we think that if a force is winning the historical process, its perspective will, of course, dominate the history writing after that. But in the case of the MNR in Bolivia, I think this is the contrary. The history of the revolution was written not by the nationalists, was written by the Marxist authors and by the Catarist authors, meaning this indigenous perspective of history in the case of Bolivia. That was named by Catari, by Tupac Catari or Tomás Catari in the case of Potosí. So I think the history of the National Revolution was written by the enemies of the party, of the Nationalist Party. And because they are trying to take a distance with the legacy of the MNR in general, they are writing a history which tell us that the MNR was not the real actor, the real force in all this process, and that MNR was in fact an opportunist force who was just taking advantage of what people have done in Bolivia in regarding the revolution. So this is a theory that said that MNR was one among a lot of actors during the revolution. My perspective is that this is not accurate, that MNR has, as I said before, a strong alliance with the important sectors or segments of the armed forces, the army, but also a strong alliance with the labor unions, which were organized in the period of Villarreal, having MNR in power. And this double alliance between military forces and labor unions, miners, workers, and after the agrarian reform peasants, that was this big alliance, social alliance, where the party was, of course, the center of what was done in the government palace. Yeah. This is not less important than the others, I think. That conducted for me to say that MNR was not one actor among others. It was the key actor in this process, I think. And we are trying to, with the book, with all those information that we collected, to say that. Now, I think this is an important part of the debate. In this sense, we are contradicting the idea of dual power thought by Zabaleta and the idea of an uncompleted revolution of Maloy. I think both theories are maybe in this case challenged by our book.
I wonder if you can talk a little bit more about the sources, because I think you had the chance to look at probably sources that were not available to other historians because of this family connection. So I wonder if you can talk about that.
In the case of Sileswaso, we don't have a huge written materials because Sileswaso was not a writer in this case. That is the difference between Sileswaso and Paz Estenssoro and Guevara, especially. I think Sileswaso and Lechint were the activists of the party, were the practical people, the men who were in the struggle, and they were not elaborating anything about ideology, perceptions, or concepts about the revolution and so on. So it was difficult to find writings of Sileswaso itself. So we research, especially in newspapers, but also in the sources of some authors which are against Sileswaso. This is an strange thing because Sileswaso was, in the common sense, a good person. He was a good friend. He had a lot of relationships with everybody, even with the opposition to the government. He was considered, in this case, the right wing of the party because he was really having good relationships with Falange, with other important opponents of the party. But at the same time, especially the left wing of the party and maybe many of the authors who were very linked to Paz Estenssoro have written a lot of books against Sileswaso. So we read these books trying to figure out if they are really contributing to the debate with facts, with solid facts, or they are just doing a campaign against Sileswaso. And so I think this was the main source. For example, Luis Antezana-Argueta was one of Sile's enemies, and he collected a lot of information which we find are fake in many cases. And this was also a source for us in this case. But The main contribution is to follow Seales' thoughts th through these 80 years of his life. How was he thinking every moment of the process? And of course, we have read his speeches as president, as vice president. This was the main source of this process of following his thoughts. And then there we find this consistency, this continuity of his thoughts about democracy all the time. From the beginning, as a child, as a young person, confronted by the fact that his father was president of Bolivia and how the violence is operating in our country. And from this beginning, when he really said violence is not the way for politics, and how in a revolutionary party he could really be consequent with this idea until its last days in Montevideo. I think this is very interesting to read the history through an individual.
So this book came out 2022 when we actually commemorate the 70 years of the revolution. And I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about how do you see the legacies of a revolution that took place 70 years ago, considering that so much has passed, as you mentioned, Catarismo, but also the rise of the MAS. So how do you see the legacies of the MNR at this point?
I think in our days, the legacies are more clear than in the past. Because in the past, especially the historians who wrote about the revolution were influenced by the Cuban Revolution. And in many senses, all the nationalist revolutions, the nationalist revolutions in our continent, in Latin America, were in certain sense, were feeling not so comfortable with the Cuban Revolution, because the Cuban Revolution has an appearance of a more advanced process, a more radical process. Many of these historians thought that the Cuban Revolution was a completed revolution because it came to the to so towards socialism, and that was the way in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s. And that's because the Bolivian Revolution, the Mexican Revolution, and maybe the revolution in Guatemala were seen as less important than the Cuban Revolution. And now we know what the Cuban Revolution is. We are seeing the results of the Cuban Revolution. And in this case, I think that in this century, in the 21st century, and especially after 70 years of the Bolivian Revolution, we can maybe say now without fear that the National Revolution in Bolivia was a completed one, because it has a clear purposes, and many of these purposes, the majority of these purposes, were accomplished, I think, because the National Revolution wanted to liberate peasants of oppression by the landowners. And this was a completed goal. This goal was accomplished. So I think, for example, in just mentioning one example, we can see that clearly. And after that, I think the idea of a universal right to vote, for example, in the case of the National Revolution of Bolivia, is now clearly an accomplishment. Because we have a democracy which Cubans are dreaming about. They are wishing maybe to have that kind of liberties, of pluralism, and so on. And so I think in this century we can see clearly, without a lot of debate, that these nationalist revolutions from the first half of the 20th century were maybe more ambitious and more adapted to our presence than the Cuban Revolution, who has converted in a part of the Cold War. And the Cold War is over, but democracy is still there.
Rafa, it was a pleasure to have you in the program. Thank you so much again for taking the time to do this.
Thank you, Carmen.
Al canciller.